Monsters, Inc. Remember how they were trying to get their power or their goal up by doing fear?
Yes.
Right? It was all fear, 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 fear.
Yes.
But when they realized that laughter was more powerful than fear, then that's how they changed their whole system.
Yes.
So now it's about how we can make the kids laugh instead of scaring them.
Yes.
And I just think that's exactly how Jesus is, right? He doesn't want to invoke any kind of fear. But
he wants to
right,
bring
laughter. Exactly.
But,
amen.
I didn't know we were live.
We are.
I didn't know. I'm sorry.
I was back here posting.
No, I was messing around.
You did a little.
Pastor Vito, I was trying to get on TV.
Oh!
Y'all was trying to get on TV.
You walk
by like this.
MCB. Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the ministry that's already went forth through prayer, dear Jesus, the powerful anointing, man of God, dear Lord, hearing from your spirit and speaking your truth, dear Lord. I pray that it brought joy to someone today.
Yes.
I pray that it broke some things in the atmosphere
yes.
for someone today. I pray for deliverance for someone today in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we continue in the spirit of worship, dear Lord, that they will hear you today as the Spirit speaks through Pastor Sandy, dear Lord. Let our hearts be willing and in a position to receive, our spiritual ears open to hear, dear Lord, what the Spirit is saying on this day. We thank you. We bless you, Lord, as we pray for Pastor Sandy, dear Lord,
yes.
that he's been before your throne, dear Jesus, and you've already ministered to his heart, dear Lord.
Yes.
Out speaks, dear Lord, your truth, dear Jesus, that bestows in his belly. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord, you wonderful people in this weather. Hot weather, I've been instructed, it was like, that's sounding crazy. I was in Martinique with a jacket on just like this. It was a little hotter than the day. And it was like, why this guy don't take his jacket off? Long time ago, the Lord told me, you keep your jacket on, you work for me.
Amen.
and he reminded me, like, you wore that football uniform in a dome stadium. And if you ever play in a dome stadium, you got the uniform on, at halftime, you got to change everything because you're soaked, right? Because in the dome, it's hot, it's like 70,000 people, and you're inside a dome. So it's like, he said, you didn't take your uniform off yet. So it's like, keep your uniform on.
Amen.
So praise God.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. We are going to do something today, and I need us to get on the same page, first of all. So, I need us to immediately go to the book of Exodus, chapter 32.
Amen.
And it seems like this past week, the Lord has been really emphasizing me, like, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. Give them more proof, give them more proof, give them more proof that I'm coming. And I think the Lord has really knocked it out the ballpark because every message that I've given in the last 2 weeks have been brand new to me. So I'm like, wow, I didn't know that one either, Lord. So, and I think like the Lord is trying to encourage the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what the Illuminati is doing, preparing for the demise of the world and Christians. It only matters what the Bible says and what God is doing with his church. You understand?
Amen.
Because since that's not a part of your future, don't you worry about it. Like, I could come and say, hey, you guys, guess what? The Illuminati's planning to fly all Christians into outer space and then bring us back and on the way down drop us all off into the ocean to drown, and then everybody would go, oh God, the Illuminati's, and they're really planning it, we got proof, and everybody would be going, they're gonna fly us to the moon and throw us in the water and let us drown all Christians. And God's like, okay, and they got proof that they're gonna do it. What does that have to do with you? You're leaving, you won't even be here, right?
Amen.
And if you don't have the understanding that the Word of God is in control of everything and that He's already planned our future, you'll think, you know, I imagine that Joseph's wife was not even one bit afraid of the coming famine. Because Joseph married, a Jewish guy married this Gentile bride, and they lived in the palace for 7 years while there was a famine going on around the world, right?
Yes.
Before the famine came, do you think that his wife was like, oh my God, there's a famine coming? She is the bride living in the palace. She's like, we already got plans.
Right.
And so God don't want his people to be, to get caught up in fear mongering and all of this type of stuff. 3 days of darkness, 10 days without. Wait on the Lord. He's got good plans for us that you will be able to escape all that is about to happen. You understand?
Yeah.
That's what he's saying, okay? So let's look at this, because I want you to see God's consistency. You're in Exodus chapter 32. Okay, let's read from verse 25. And it says here, it says, Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control, and so became a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance of the camp. Whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the Levites rallied to him. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. Each man strap a sword to his side, go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, killing his brother and friends and neighbors. The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day 3,000 people died. Now, why did God have them do that? Because Moses had just come down from the mountain. He'd been gone 40 days. He comes back down. They built a golden calf, okay? They're bowing down to an object. And he said the people were running wild. I mean, it was just fornication and whatever they wanted to do. Because Moses is gone, let's just have a party, right? And God's like, now you got to understand God. I just brought these people out of Egypt. They know I'm God. They just agreed to me that they would marry me and signed the covenant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I leave for 40 days just to go up and talk to God. Then Moses comes back down, and they're running crazy. And they like, forget about God. We got a golden calf, and we're going to worship this. So when he sends them through, and he says for the Levites to kill, and then 3,000 people died because of that judgment. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Remember the word 3,000. Let's go to Judges chapter 16, verse 27. Because as we get on toward the end of this scripture, you're going to see God is consistent, and he's trying to encourage his people to just wait, because your rescue is already planned.
Amen.
Okay? In Judges chapter 16, I'm going to start reading in verse 27. It says, now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there on the roof, where 3,000, if your Bible says about 3,000, it's like trying to interpret Hebrew, and so you can't interpret as 3,000, because as three, or the same as 3,000, you can't interpret it. So you go, well, we'll figure it out. We'll put about. Okay, there is a word in Hebrew for about, but this isn't it. Okay, so it's 3,000. So here it is. There are 3,000 men and women on the roof, right, of this stadium. And it says, men, women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, O sovereign Lord, remember me, O God, please strengthen me just one more time, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes, because they had gouged his eyes out. Then he reached out toward the two pillars which the temple stood bracing himself against them, his hands on one of the his hands on one and his left hand on the other, and Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with his might, and down came the temple, all the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed more when he died than while he was alive. Okay, so this is a judgment coming down, right? They've gouged Samson's eyes out. And how many people have he killed as he brings judgment? 3,000. Now, is God just saying every time I bring judgment, I'm gonna kill 3,000?
No.
Or is God consistent, and he's trying to show you, when I'm writing this word for a reason, so you'll know how consistent I am, and when you see something happen, how it happened, okay? And who did it, and who's behind it, because you know my consistency,
yes.
Right? Okay, we're not gonna talk about he pushed the pillars out, and the pillars being the church, and the church, the pillars got pushed out. The church, the pillars is actually the church.
Yes.
He's pushing the church out, and once he pushes the church out, then the judgment comes. But he can't, judgment can't come until he what? Gets the church out. You understand? So we have to understand, he's telling us, but he's letting you know there was 3,000 in Moses' time, now here is another 3,000 at Samson's time, and then now let's go to Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 4 and chapter 4 and will be verse 4 and 5. By this time God has a priesthood, and what is he planning for? This is awesome. Zach, you'll really appreciate this. You're in 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. It said, the sea stood on 12 bulls, three facing east. Now let me explain to you this first. They just built a lever. They're calling it a sea in English, but it's a water lever, because they did mikras. Do you know they did baptisms back in Judaism? They were called mikvahs, okay? And they would baptize as a cleansing ceremony, okay? So they built this huge baptism pool that could fit 3,000 people. So they measured it out like, we're gonna build this, and they built it on these statues of bulls. And the whole measure of this whole swimming pool they built could baptize 3,000 people at one time. And so these are the two scriptures that, if you can want to read it later for yourself, but it says the sea or the lever stood on 12 bulls, three facing north, three facing east, three facing south, three facing east. The sea or the lever rested on top of them, and their headquarters were toward the center. It was the hand breadth in thickness, and its rim was like the rim of a cup, like the lilies or the lily blossoms. It held 3,000 baths. So you could baptize 3,000 people in there at one time. Okay, let's go to Acts. So how many, who knows how many people got saved and baptized in the book of Acts? How many people got saved?
What's the 3,000?
Huh? 3,000! So, and these were not 3,000 Gentiles, these were 3,000 Jews who were visiting Jerusalem because they were ordered to be there at that particular time. And so they're all there, and they hear the gospel in their own language. No matter what country they came from, they're hearing the gospel in their own language. Mm. And they even ask, are these men drunk? You know, why are they speaking in all different types of languages? And we can understand these wonderful words that they're speaking. Well, after that, it says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, It says, and Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God called. Called, the word call in Hebrew means invite, okay? It says, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And I'm saying that right now. Those who accept his message were baptized. 3,000 of them.
Mm.
So God is anticipating a baptism in the future of 3,000. He's already done two judgments that killed 3,000. Now God's about redemption, and it's also going to be 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to read something from this book, and it has to do with the Yom Kippur War. Okay, you guys know what happened in the Yom Kippur War? Well, the Jews were sitting by, and they knew that all these countries, Egypt and others, were surrounding them, about to attack. And they didn't want to attack first because they didn't want to have a bad reputation as being the aggressors. So the president at the time, I think it was Gilda Meir, she said, oh, no, we're not going to attack. We're not going to attack first. And so they ended up attacking them on Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is one of the most holy days in Israel, right? So they're all at synagogue. They're singing praises and doing. And all of a sudden, they have to rush out, get in the planes, and protect Israel, right? It becomes absolutely crazy. So the battle goes on, and Israel lost. How many soldiers do you think died during the war?
3,000.
3,000. And it says, how is it that Israel has lost exactly 3,000 soldiers in the Yom Kippur War? And I have the book here. I was going to read it. But, let me see if I can read something. Because it was... It says, just as in Acts chapter 41, it says 3,000 soldiers lost their lives in the Yom Kippur War. So is this consistency of God or what?
Yes.
So do we think that it just happens to be 3,000, or God is showing us 3,000 throughout the scriptures? And here it is, modern day, 1973, for me is modern day because I'm in sixth grade, you know? And you have a Yom Kippur War, one of Israel's biggest histories, things happening in history. 6 years after the Six-Day War, they have another war, and it kills 3,000 people. So is God consistent in what he's doing?
Yes.
Yes. Now, I went through all of that because I'm going to show you another consistency so that you can understand the plan of the rescue of the church and the bride, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to Exodus. Chapter 4.
Amen.
Oh, I didn't have my fan on the pastor, man.
I'm sorry.
I'm itching for licking. Now, let's look at this. Okay, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 26, it says, then God says, then go tell Pharaoh, to Moses, he's telling him, say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go, so he may worship me. But if you refuse to let him go, I will kill your firstborn son. So, you ask a million Christians, who's the firstborn son of God? And what would they say?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
But he wasn't.
But The scripture, now he's the first begotten son of God, but God considers Israel to be his firstborn son. Like these are my chosen people. These are my people, okay? So Israel is the firstborn son of God. Now, if Jesus is also the firstborn son of God,